and the River Region.
It's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell. Local sports, national sports. The G-Cat is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, settle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
It is Friday. And I know, it's going to rain this weekend. Put a damper on those festivities if you were planning on doing the St. Patrick's Day Parade over on Metairie Road, and it's been postponed. New dates, April 7th. 2024, as looking at 80% on Sunday. Meantime, you got a pair of Pelicans games. Sunday will be Selection Sunday as well. Rafael Esparza will give us very latest on how to do some of those things when it comes to your favorite app, if you know what I'm saying. Also, we got a ton to get into when it comes to the Pels, as they are back in action tonight, taking on the Los Angeles Clippers. Kind of a big game in the standings. We'll take a look at the standings there as well. And we got a lot more to get into. Plus, I got some fresh Saints sound from one of your newest Saints players. And the linebacker that has come from Kansas City to New Orleans. Why pick the Saints? Willie Gay Jr., his thoughts as to what had him pick the Saints over a handful of other teams here as well. Got a lot of other news in the NFL here as well. Garland Gillen, Fox 8, is going to join us. We'll do a little roundtable discussion with him. We'll hit on a handful of topics, including the Saints, the Pels. Basketball seasons have come to an end for the LSU and Tulane men's basketball program. Will Wade, the very latest on him, as McNeese is in the tournament. Could be some bigger news for him here as well. So we'll touch on all of that and more as we got a lot to get into. 800-998-1003. Our number one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. Will be there on April 12th. Looking forward to that remote. 1926 Airline Drive over in Metairie. On Airline, right across basically from what? Premier Fitness, the furniture store, you know, the toy store has been there forever. It is there where you can go check them out. Looking forward to that. Buddy will take your phone calls over in the LaRose studios. Your full guest lineup looks like this. Coming up, as I said, Garland Gillen from Fox 8 at 12:15, Rafael at 1:15, 1:45, Jeff Boggs with ESPN Bets. And then at 2:05, Jake Madison will join us to break down this game and take a look at the Western Conference standings here as well. 17 games remain, two straight at home here for the Pelicans as they will take on the Clippers tonight and the Trailblazers tomorrow. That game Wednesday, you'll hear from Trey Murphy, Willie Green from practice yesterday as to his thoughts as to what he thought about that game and what to make of it and how much to put, I guess, emphasis on there or not. I'll just say this. I mean, I literally was not at the gym 3 minutes today and had several people walk up and say, they just can't beat good teams. What kind of performance is that? What's all that? They literally won four straight and were looking to win five straight. Now, that said, I think the graph told me it's the fourth time this season they were looking to win five straight and didn't, and some of those coming at home. So, look, you want to get those wins. They did get a little help yesterday. Little help yesterday, as we'll go into that here in a quick second. Marlon Favorite at 2:15. I'll ask him the very latest with the Cowboys. You know, he's a Cowboys man. But more importantly, he's part of the LSU Sports Radio Network. So week two, spring ball. Any headlines coming out of there? Leo Haggerty is going to be focusing on college basketball as well. Plus, his thoughts on the NFC South. Since we last talked to him last Friday, Kirk Cousins and the Falcons. They are now a thing. They're making all kinds of moves. They're getting receivers here, receivers there. I mean, their Twitter feed, it's insufferable. You can't even look over there. I mean, it's a highlight here. It's a highlight there. They already have graphics of Kirk Cousins wearing chains. He actually showed that he has a Dirty Birds chains now that he's going with. Anyway, all of that and more. The Saints did also have another signing as well yesterday, and a receiver in Celdrick Wilson Jr. from the Dolphins. I even I text Roy, Miami Dolphins superfan. How is he? Is he good? A couple of people have put some video clips on him here as well as to what stood out, and more importantly, I guess that you do see with a fit. Fit is something that stands out. And that's why I just forgot just quickly, even though it's staring right at me, Ross Jackson is going to join us. Ross Jackson is going to join us at 1:30 here as well to kind of go over it and maybe why, again, it's not a ton of moves, right? But you're seeing the moves that they are making are for, I guess, purposeful reasons, if that makes sense. It's on purpose, right? Guys that have some sort of attachment, at least on the offensive side, to the Shanahan offense. And remember, Miami, their head coach, came from San Francisco, was the play caller. So that system, that offense makes sense to bring in a guy that played receiver in that offense from that nature. So that gives you an idea on that and more. So we'll get off and running here. As always, the lead is brought to you by Lakeview Massage and Therapy and Upper Cervical Family Chiropractic.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
All right, so yes, the Saints do get a receiver in Celdrick Wilson. Now, he is 6'2", 197, six-year NFL veteran. He was originally selected in the sixth round of the 2019 NFL draft out of Boise State by the Cowboys. Now, in his six seasons, spent a couple with the Cowboys, and as of late, the Dolphins for 2 years. Wilson's played in 68 regular season games, seven starts, and has career totals of 101 receptions, 1,269 yards, 11 touchdowns. He's also been one of those receivers that has brought back punts and things of that nature. So he's also done that where, you know, you can maybe use him as a returner, or he has some value of it. And, you know, the Saints, for as long as I can remember, especially when Sean was here, if he can play more than one position, I don't know if he's a returner or not, but again, he is somebody that can and has done that. So last year, what'd he do? Last year, he played in 15 games, three starts for the Dolphins, finished with 22 receptions, 296 yards, three touchdowns, and he, you know, I think is more importantly a guy that can come in and help explain what this offense does, help explain how receivers work in this offense. And one of the things, and one of the reasons I wanted to have Ross Jackson on, is because he says when you look at what he's done and some of the, I guess, moves and plays that he does, you see motion. You see some motion with him. You see a lot of the things that you kind of are going to expect in this offense, and it's not something that you really see a lot of, you know, Olave and, well, I mean, look, they ran a different offense here. So I think that's one of the things that stood out. Ross tweeted an hour ago that one of the things for sure that we're going to talk to him when he was looking at Cedric Wilson's tape, quote, when he was with the Cowboys in 2021, he ran a steady amount of routes out of the backfield from motion. So he says it's something he expects to see with the receivers in 2024 for the Saints. Got to teach that to Olave. Got to teach that to Rashid Shaheed again. I know we kind of think of Deebo Samuel, one of those bigger receivers that you're handing it off to and stuff. Man, I'd love to. Look, we talked about it a lot during the season last year. Can you give Rashid Shaheed the ball and have him go in motion and just hand it to him and just use those speed? But again, here's somebody that's done it, can show it at practice. He understands it. And quite honestly, if I'm Kubiak and I'm just calling plays for the first time, I'm going to feel comfortable calling it to somebody that is that. So I don't know if that's his role, if that's something that can come in and do that. But again, it's a move that maybe doesn't splash the NFL wire like Aaron Donald's retirement from earlier today. But again, I keep bringing it up, and I'm interested to see what Garland thinks about this as well. It seems like, look, this is what the Saints are doing. It's probably something you should have done 2 years ago here of that nature. They're making a concerted effort here of trying to bring in players, trying to bring in coaches, trying to legitimately change the philosophy and what this offense is going to be. And I'm telling y'all, there's hope that it happens quickly and there's success to it quickly. But this feels, smells, has all the earmarkings of, this is a rebuild. This is a retooling. This is a reshaping. This takes time. You need several draft picks. You need some signings of players that can kind of help you establish what you want, the culture on that side of the football, how you want to play that side of the football, et cetera, et cetera. That's what it looks like to me, right? On the other side, you have a defense that we've been talking about for a while. I need playmakers. I need speed. I need just some help there as well. And when you look at today's NFL, what are the areas that we've been talking about and I talked a lot about during, training camp and preseason and whatever's, man, the Saints in that linebacker zone area. I'm not saying DeMario Davis can't make plays. He was an All-Pro last year. I'm not saying Pete Werner can't make plays. He isn't. He's a good football linebacker and stuff. But you're seeing a lot of crossing routes. Tight ends have made a comeback here as well. You're always going to use running backs in that field there as well. But you're seeing the need for speed and a linebacker that, hey, I keep saying it, can go after mobile quarterbacks. And that's something that Willie Gay Jr. talked about yesterday. More importantly, if he's asked to do that, when you look at some of the quarterbacks that are coming into the draft, I know Jaden knew what he did with LSU and his speed. You think about that a lot. Drake May can move out of that pocket. Caleb Williams can move out of that pocket. I can go on and on. You see a lot of quarterbacks that, they're not Lamar Jackson, but they move around and they make plays. You need a quarterback that, or a defender that can do that or not. Here's what he had to say.
Man, that's just like playing backyard football. When Coach Spags at the Chiefs, man, brought that package up to me, 3 years ago, my second year. And I was like, yeah, that's easy, So it was very effective for us over there, man. And I'm looking forward to bringing it, to the Saints in any way that I can, any way the defensive coaches want to use me. Like I said, man, I'm ready. I'm ready to be that weapon that they, can count on. And, if it comes to mobile quarterbacks, I'll definitely do the job. So definitely not worried about anybody outrunning me. So
I like that. Look, I just love that. I have no idea how many snaps he's going to get. I don't know what his role is going to be. I don't know how they're going to use him. We're going to get to his desire to want more snaps. One of the reasons he left, I think, Kansas City. And I'll play that in a quick second. But I don't know about you. I love hearing somebody on that side of the football say, I'm not worried about somebody outrunning me. Because that is a legit need on this team. That is a legit need. I'm not saying there aren't players on that side of the football right now in the offseason. I believe they're fast, that they can run down people. But the Saints need a little more speed on that side of the ball. You can't say they don't. So, again, I just like at least that there's the confidence of a player that says, I'm not worried about somebody outrunning me. What does he bring to this side of the ball for those that maybe haven't followed him in Kansas City?
Man, honestly, it's nothing on the field I can't do. Not a perfect player. I never say that. But when I'm out there, I feel like I'm the fastest out there. I can cover. I can tackle. Do I make all of them? No. Am I going to make every interception? No. Am I going to make every play? No. But you got a guy that's going to go 110 every play, give it his all, but it's blitz and coverage. I feel like, man, I can do it all, man. And to be here and have an opportunity to showcase that is something I'm definitely looking forward to, from OTAs, training camp, and on into the season. So I can't wait to put it on display.
And look, here's the other thing, too. The guy's won back-to-back Super Bowls. I have to imagine that culture, that style, especially with Spags and what he's been able to do over there, what that defense has done. I know we think a lot about Mahomes and the offense, and absolutely a reason they're Super Bowl champions is because of him at quarterback. Their defense is pretty good, too. So you bring in a guy that has that kind of experience, that kind of hunger, and more importantly, is used in a certain way. I like it. Now, we'll see if it fits, right? We'll take a quick break. We come back. Garland Gillen from Fox 8. We'll go through a roundtable here as well. The report out there about Will Wade, and he could possibly be leaving sooner rather than later for McNeese. So we'll talk about that as well. His thoughts on the Saints and the Pels as they get ready to take on the Clippers in a pretty big one tonight over at the Blender at 7 o'clock. You're listening to the Sports Hangover, where Hour 1 is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. Go check them out. Paddleboard, fly fishing, that is your one-stop shop over there, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. It's ESPN New Orleans.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
So thankful to be a part of the Saints organization now. Thankful to everyone a part of it, you know, from the owners to the coaches to the GM. And, man, I'm ready to roll. So, looking forward to it.
That is Willie Gay Jr. yesterday meeting local media as to why he chose the New Orleans Saints. Garland Gillen from Fox 8 joins us to talk a handful of topics here. Sir, as always, man, appreciate the time. How are you?
Yes, indeed, Gus. All is well on this Friday. You know, our channel parade tomorrow. So, you know, I'm in high spirits, even though I'm looking at the forecast. We're gonna be dodging some rain, but we'll be okay.
I hear you, Bruce, and the rest over there in the Condra this morning. I just saw her on the TV just now. They're pretty important right now over the next couple of days. Sunday's already been postponed to April 7th, but look, it's always a good time. All right, so we got a handful of topics I want to get into here, man. Let's just start with hoops for starters, and then we'll get to a lot to digest when it comes to NFL free agency, the Saints, but. And I'm watching March Madness. LSU Tulane's basketball season's come to an end yesterday. McNeese still alive, going into the tournament by winning the Southland with a very impressive first year under Will Wade. What are your thoughts on those three programs? And I don't know, who are you most excited about next year between LSU and Tulane, perhaps?
Well, between LSU and Tulane, you can admit it, you've been around Tulane. Ron Hunter is a fantastic guy. He's a great soundbite, highly entertaining. But after that top 10 win against Memphis, they just fell off the fell off the side there and had a massive losing streak. And, I mean, 1995, Gus, that's the last time they made the tournament. I mean, that's just inexcusable for it to be this long for a school of Tulane's prestige. And then LSU, McMahon started with zero scholarships when he got there and then slowly built his team up. If you had to put it either or, I would say LSU. Matt McMahon is on a 7-year contract, and he's going to have time to build this. I don't know if Tulane is just fine with mediocrity, because that's what they got right now with the basketball program for another season.
Now, one of the things what Will Wade's been able to do, because we all followed what happened at LSU, but did you expect what you saw at McNeese this year from him?
Not 30-3, but in the age of the transfer portal and NIL, Gus, you can flip it that fast. And we all know he was a good X's and O's coach. We saw that at LSU, and his team is fantastic. I cannot wait to see if they're a 12 or a 13 seed on Sunday, because if it's a right matchup, I might pick them in my bracket for an upset, because Will Wade has got a dynamic team right now, and I think they can do some damage in the tournament. They're getting into a team with a lot of bigs. They might be in more trouble, but they're an athletic team right now.
Now, look, obviously, X is the dangerous place. You don't know what's weird or what's not, but it looks like somebody that's a Vandy follower. He tweeted earlier this morning saying, hey, look, according to a source inside Vanderbilt University, the next head coach, Will Wade. Grew up a Vandy fan, has been a clean slate from the NCAA, expected to have $7 million pool in NIL. Look, we'll see what happens if that happens, but how important is NIL money, the ability to get that? I think yesterday Chef Scotty was saying on the show, McNeese had $250,000, and he was able to go get some players, but is that where we are right now, too, the ability to go find the player, give him the money, and then be able to coach him? Is that something that Will can succeed in at the next level?
Yeah, and if he gets to a program that's heavy in NIL, I think he can be very successful. I know Gus, the rumors are out there, and if you just type in Will Wade on X, you can see like that he's up for a number of jobs. McNeese took a major chance on him. I mean, he was suspended the first 10 games of the season. I think, unless there's an unbelievable job out there, and, you know, I know there's no, you know, with this landscape of college basketball, the loyalty level is pretty low. But I got to believe at least we'll wait one more season at McNeese. Yeah, because, you know, give him a full season. Dude, McNeese put a lot of time and effort, took a major chance in bringing him in. You talk about Vanderbilt, man, that's like a dead-end job. I don't know if Vanderbilt can succeed. Even in their heyday, the best they would do like was second round of the tournament. So I'm intrigued a lot of those names that are out there. You know, Louisville has is a much better job, but I don't know what radar he's on for what AD, but I would think that he would maybe stay one more year and then get out there, unless there's some unreal job out there, and I don't believe Vanderbilt's that job.
Yeah, be interesting. Speak with Garland Gillen from Fox 8. Pelicans, different kind of basketball, the NBA here. They lose Wednesday, and I'm telling you, Garland, I was not at the gym this morning 3 minutes, and I had several people walk up. See, they can't beat good teams. Man, they're not any good. Zion can't do that. He had 33 points. I mean, it's so funny where everyone's at with this team with 17 games left. But I guess the most important aspect as they get ready to take on the Clippers tonight is this. Do you think they're capable of being able to hang on to a top six seed?
As it stands right now, yeah. And you know what, Gus? The reason that the Pelicans were successful in that four-game winning streak was that Zion, when he was coming down the lane, he was getting double-teamed. If the Pelicans hit three-pointers, they can win games. And the last game against Cleveland, C.J. McCollum was 0-5 from three-point land. Najee Marshall, 1-5. Trey Murphy, 1-6. If they're not hitting the threes, it's over with for the Pelicans. And they just got to get back on track with hitting the three. I mean, they're 7.5-point favorites tonight against the Clippers. The Clippers are right in front of them. I think they could survive getting a top six seed. The Mavericks are still up and down. The Suns are going to deal with injury concerns for the rest of the season. They're just an old team. I think they can hold down one of those six spots there and hopefully avoid the play-in, because you get in the play-in, you're possibly going to have a one game against Phoenix or Dallas. And what happens in that one game if Luka or Kevin Durant go off for like 40 points, then you're out of the playoffs?
Yeah, I definitely think that's one of the things that you look at and see what takes place. But, man, a three-point shot, it's crazy. That you could do a whole, you know, what is it, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. You got a handful of shows out there in Fox 8. You could do a whole hour, man, on how important the three-point shot is right now. You literally can't win if you don't make three-point shots in the NBA today, huh?
No, you're right. That's the key to the game. And, I mean, Trey Murphy, what, he had 10 three-pointers? In Toronto, if Trey and Herb are not hitting from the outside in the playoffs and CJ, they are in major trouble. That if they're hot from three, then this team can go far in the playoffs. Because you know Zion running the point, they're gonna crash down to him, put 2-3 guys when he's trying to go lay up, and then you can push it back out. If they hit that three, you're golden.
Let's transition over to the Saints. Speak with Garland Gillen from Fox 8. Your initial thoughts, the second you found out, not that you probably didn't think it was going to happen, it's been rumored, but Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. What did you think when you heard that officially?
They're the NFC South favorites now. That was the key last year, Gus. I was really down on the Falcons last year because I thought Desmond Ridder was not a good quarterback, and sure enough, he had a bad season. He's now traded away to Arizona. I said, if they get a quarterback, watch out. Now they have a quarterback in Kirk Cousins. They're a heavy favorite in the betting odds right now. The Saints are third in the betting odds because Baker Mayfield's back, Mike Evans is back, Lavonte David's back. So, yeah, this is going to be different from last year. Last year, they were the favorite to win the NFC South because they had the shiny new toy in Derek Carr. Well, now the Falcons have the shiny new toy, and they're the favorites. We debated this on Final Bet last night. The over-under win total don't come out until after the schedule set, which is going to be in May. And we're trying to figure out the over-under is going to be 8.5, 8, or 7.5, because it's going to be right around there. And if you're listening as a Saints fan, you're not happy about that. But last year, their over-under win total was 9.5. So there's got to be going a little backwards, because that schedule is so hard for the black and gold this year.
No doubt. NFC East, AFC West, and you look at all the additions from Harbaugh going to the Chargers. I think a lot of people are wondering what they're doing with their trading and getting rid of players like, you know, Keenan Williams and receivers. But, man, you look at the East. Washington's making some moves there. I don't know what the Giants are going to be. The Eagles kind of re-fortify there. I guess what I'm trying to get at is this, Garland. You add Rondale Moore. You add Darnell Mooney in Atlanta. You're seeing all this around you. Has it finally come to fruition where the kick and can philosophy, where you can't keep, you know, role players like Malcolm Roach and stuff? And look, no offense, but, you know, Xander's got a great name, and Adam Prentice is back, and I think Willie Gay can help Junior. But you get what I'm getting at? Do you think at some point not being able to spend money to get impactful free agents immediately is coming back to maybe haunt the Saints eventually?
Gus, this is an old team. There's just no way to other way to put it. Cam Jordan is another year older coming into the next season. Only had 2.5 sacks last year. I mean, he started really showing his age. DeMario Davis is getting up in age. Derek Carr, he's still got some sizzle left. And then that O-line, I have major question marks at left tackle and left guard right now. It doesn't seem like they're letting Andres Pete test the market. So, I mean, Nick Saldivari, James Hurst, like, what are you doing on that side of the ball? I know they're probably going to draft a left tackle. I know they're trying to get a bargain basement guy at defensive end because they need another one. I mean, you got Cam, you got Carl Granderson, you got Foskey, and then Peyton Turner's always hurt, and you got Passanio. So that's not a great unit right there. They need an upgrade at defensive end and even a left tackle. You're right. This roster's aging. If they don't win this year, obviously Dennis Allen's probably gone, and they're going to have to definitely look at themselves in the mirror. They're going to want to do a rebuild. They've never done a rebuild with Mickey Loomis as the GM.
And Garland, I guess the reason I look at it like this, man, the numbers have come out on a Ramchek rework, and I see, what, $29 million to the cap in 2025. It's just at some point, all of this money, it is going to matter. I get the cap goes up, and I get all of that, but to me, it's different, and you understand this, Garland, you know, going and deciding where you're going to eat with some guys and some people and have a good night before the paycheck or the Friday that you get paid. You know what I'm saying? When you have money, your choices are a little different than, I got to make this work another 10 days. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And Ramchek, I mean, I talked about, I'm worried about the left side of the offensive line. I mean, my goodness, he's got an injury that he's going to be dealing with the rest of his career, Ryan Ramchek. How much longer does he have left? You got McCoy at center. You got Ruiz at right guard. But Ramchek, I don't know if you can guarantee that he's going to get to the 14-game plateau next season because he's going to be dealing with an injury that I don't think is ever going away. It's going to be there for the rest of his career. So there's a lot of concern. I know that everybody's going crazy. They got a new offense coordinator and Kubiak. But the weapons are not there right now. This right. is not a playoff team right now.
Well, it's always, I guess, college football. Then when we look at that, man, how many brackets do you fill out, man, as we wrap up with you? How many brackets on Selection
Sunday? I do a bracket. Usually about 20 of my friends join in. We do it every year.
Okay.
So I just do one bracket. Focus on my one bracket. I won it 2 years ago in Kansas, won it all. Last year, I did not pick UConn, so I got smoked last year. So the good thing with college basketball is, Gus, is like the last week or so I've been all in on college basketball trying to figure out what's going to happen. That probably means everything will fail when I get the bracket in front of my hands. But I will say this. I will take McNeese and Will Wade to at least win one game. I just have faith in them to pull an upset. I'm not like, you know, blowing anybody's mind by saying that. I mean, they're 30-3. They have, I think, the most wins or right up there with the most wins in NCAA right now. So, I to be honest right now, I'm leaning towards Houston winning it all, and they've even, failed in the past. But I like Kelvin Sampson, the Cougs, right now.
I love that, man. At Garland Gillen is the way to give a follow over on X. And, of course, go check out he and the rest of the folks over there on Fox. They're worth all their shows. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it, bud.
You got it, G-Cat.
Yep, next we will open the phone lines. If you want to chime into the conversation, anything you had to say here as well, we'll have a few more sound bites from Willie Gay Jr. as he spoke to the media yesterday. You'll hear from Trey Murphy and Willie Green from practice yesterday. Pel's getting ready to take on the Clippers tonight. Pretty big game. We'll take a quick peek as well as the Western Conference standings. But just underway, it's the Sports Hangover. Rafael Esparza next hour, as well as Ross Jackson. We'll delve a little deeper as to who Cedric Wilson Jr. is at receiver. How will they use Willie Gay Jr. at linebacker? And is Xander the key? I love that name. Xander Holmgren. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003. Hour one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing on the Gulf Coast. 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. NoWakeOutfitters.com. Go check out all the info there. We'll be there on April 12th. And we got a lot to get into when it comes to the Pels and Clippers tonight. We'll hear from Willie Green from practice yesterday and Trey Murphy. CJ McCollum, I just pulled him from shoot around, so I'll be able to have a little bit of some of that before we get off the air. But when you take a look at the standings today and where everything goes, let's just kind of start with how it is now with 17 regular season games to go. You scoreboard watch. Where could you have gotten some help yesterday? Well, the Suns were in Boston and the Celtics won 127 to 112. Phoenix right around where the Pels are. So that was a good thing. Clippers did play last night. So it is a back-to-back. Paul George had 28 points, 7 assists. But they won in Chicago 126 to 111. Kawhi Leonard also played. He had 27 points. So gives you an idea from that standpoint. Now, no James Harden in that game. But they knocked down 20 threes out of 40 attempts yesterday. Chicago 16. That's a key because, again, three-point shot was a absolute reason the Pelicans lost on Wednesday. Got to knock them down. Elsewhere, the Mavericks and Thunder played last night in OKC. An exciting game on TNT. OKC won that one 126 to 119. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, another 31-point game. We had Madison Hawk on the Pelicans podcast this morning. And she's with Bally Sports New Orleans. She also does stuff with Bally Sports OKC. And she brought up, I think it was the 45th time, she said, that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has scored 30 or more points this season. I want you to think about that. The Thunder have played 66 games. They're 46-20. Out of 66 games, 45, he's had 30 or more points. I know he may not be the sexy guy that a lot of people sort of talk about and MVP, but with Embiid out right now, I don't know how that guy is in a top three MVP candidate. They're still in first place. Now they're tied with Denver. Knicks 105, Trailblazers 93 was the other final in a couple other games last night. You had the Wizards and Rockets 135 to 119, Bucks 114-105. So that was the rest of the games last night. But standings wise, let's see where the Pels are. Still a game ahead of the sixth spot, but it's now Sacramento, as again, that loss by Phoenix drops them below that play-in line. They're now 8 back of OKC. Denver has them tied at 46-20, but they're the 2 seed right now. Minnesota 1 game back in 3. There are the Clippers in 4th, 42-23, 3.5 back. Pelicans 6.5 back. So you're 3 games back of the Clippers. In the postseason, if the season ended today, 4 plays 5. So you're essentially trying to play for home court advantage and get those first 2 games on your building. Pels, one of the better records on the road, 21-13. Just 18-13 at home. Where does that compare with the other teams in the Western Conference? Well, OKC's 27-7 at home, 19-13 away. Denver's 27-6 at home, 19-14 away. Minnesota's 23-8 at home, 22-13 away. The Clippers are 22-10 at home, 20-13 away. And there are the Pels, 18-13 at home, 21-13 away. Sacramento 19-12 at home, 19-15 away. Then the Suns are 21-17 home and away win differential. Dallas is 20-18. But just kind of giving you an idea, that top four, there's a reason they're top four. They're winning at home. I mean, everyone else that has a high number of wins are normally up there. The Lakers, maybe the aberration here, they're 24-11 at home, 12-20 away. Golden State, that's still so weird to see 17-17. That was a place back in the day. You show up, that's a loss. Not the same right now. So Phoenix, Dallas, Lakers, Warriors right now is your play. And I was listening to ESPN National Radio this morning, and they were like, could you imagine the NBA would love the play-in scenario, win or go home, Steph and LeBron. The other play-in, you got Kevin Durant, Booker with Luka and Kyrie. Look, that's fine. Let them build that up all they want. I have no problem with that being 7, 8, 9, and 10. You want to stay inside of the 6. So that's the outlying, I guess, importance to this game tonight. You can get a full game back on the Clippers here, comma, and then also win the season series. You're ahead right now, 2-1. Now, the last time the Clippers were here, that was a beating. That was a no bueno game. I'm just going by the rule of odds here. I don't think CJ McCollum's going to be scoreless at halftime. I don't think the Pels have 2 3-pointers with like 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I mean, if that happens, that'll be extremely disappointing. I just don't see that happening tonight. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win. I'm just saying I don't think they're going to shoot as poorly as they did on Wednesday. But it would be so key tonight if the Pelicans could pick up this win. Because you would have the tiebreaker on the Clippers if you wind up winning the same amount of games. You already own the tiebreaker on the Kings that are a game below you. And they're playing really good right now. They've won 2 straight, 6-4 the last 10. But they essentially have to have one more win than you. They have 38, you have 39. They need 40 to pass you. Does that make sense? They can't have the same record as you because you have the season series on them. If you can have the season series on the Clippers and it gets to that point, I know it may still be 4-5, but pretty sure you would want the home courts, I guess. I don't know. It's strange to me because what's to say you can't go to L.A. where the Clippers are 22-10, win one of those 2 games, come home, win 1 or 2 of those 2 games, and now make it a series against the Clippers. So that's just something to keep an eye on when you look at the standings and the games coming up tonight. The other games we'll be keeping an eye on. Suns at the Hornets. Should be a Phoenix win. It is a back-to-back for them, but it should be a Phoenix win. They have 10.5-point favorites. When you look at the Nuggets, they play the Spurs. The Hawks take on the Jazz, Magic, and Raptors, Heat, and Pistons. So really, Suns game is the only game that you'll keep an eye on in terms of standings, but you would think that could be a win. Let's just see what happens. To me, biggest key, obviously, is the Clippers and the Pelicans. Here's head coach Willie Green after looking at the tape, after seeing what happened on Wednesday.
I think it was a combination of both. It's there's some controllables that we didn't do a great job of, and you got to give Cleveland credit. They played with a sense of urgency and a desperation after losing a couple games. You can tell that they wanted to come in and get one, and those are areas that we know we can be better. We talked about it today in our film and showed some clips of it and went through some scenarios and concepts, but hadn't been our standard. But it's definitely games like that where, you know, it humbles you a bit and you got to get back to work.
Again, I'm still disappointed. Obviously, look, that first game back from a road trip, I know 4K was like, what are you talking about? That's an excuse. I'm like, no, man, it happens. I get it. That said, you never want to hear your head coach say you came out flat. You never do, especially when every game matters, when you have a crowd like that, and just more importantly, when you have a game of that importance. So that does stink. You got to bounce back. You don't dwell on it again, but they better bring some fire today, right? No doubt.
Yeah, we beat them in some offensive categories, points in the paint. I think we won that battle, transition by a little bit. We got to the free throw line, but we didn't generate enough threes for us to be able to have a good scoring game. And a part of that was Cleveland and their physicality, and they're a good basketball team. And, you know, they're one of the top teams in the East for a reason. And a part of it was us. It was us not being as disciplined as we needed to be, not playing with the sense of urgency that we needed to. And we were fighting, you know, against a really good team, but then also the natural is coming off a long road trip. That first game is always a tough game, and we didn't give ourselves an opportunity to win the game, and that's the disappointing part for us.
Let's be honest. Initially, you go, not that sense of urgency phrase again. And I think you have every right to be like, well, how do you not know the importance of what I do? And I'm going to say this, and at first you're like, what? And I'm like that. But it is true. This still is a young team. What are you talking about, Gus? C.J. McCollum's like, oh, he's got gray hair. Brandon Ingram's been in the league. No, you're right in terms of years, in terms of games, in terms of have they... I hear you. But they ain't all done it together at this point, and this is what you're doing. They are still learning, and they hadn't gone through it. Well, Gus, what are you talking about, man? They made that run there at the end. They did. They made that run to get in the play-in and win two games when they didn't have Zion. And Jose Alvarado and Najee were still coming on and earning their contracts. They hadn't done it before, so they were learning. And you forget, they had a pretty decent losing streak there, but they picked it up. They've never had this group together. And as healthy as they have been together and trying to figure out all the rotations together. They hadn't done it. And look, believe me, I don't want to go with the youth route. I don't want to go with the inexperienced route. But here's the reality of it, too. Those two seasons that we referenced, and last year, look, you had a 10-game losing streak. You'd have Zion. This team was built around him. More importantly, I don't feel that this way. They have won without him. They have won without B.I. They have won without C.J. playing well. But all of those seasons that we're talking about, they were battling for 9 or 10, right? For starters, and secondly, the West wasn't this difficult. I think that's something I have to keep in mind, too, when I had this appointment. The West was not this difficult. Kevin Durant was not on the Suns. Bradley Beal was not on the Suns. OKC didn't have Chet Holmgren and SGA scoring 45 of their 66 games, scoring 30 points. You didn't have Minnesota kind of take that next step with Anthony Edwards. They wasn't there. The T-Wolves are battling for a play-in spot. So, it is a tougher conference right now. That said, I do think you have every right to maybe expect and want some effort tonight. Better not be flat. Now you're going to get run off the floor. When we come back, we'll focus our attention a little bit to the NFL free agency. Phone lines are open as well. 800-998-1003. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Is the way to chime into the conversation. Eric, give us a call back, man. I'll come right to you here. I want to kind of set things up for the night's game. Then we'll get right back to you here as well. NFL free agency, off and running. Teams making moves everywhere. What'd you think of what my conversation with Garland was? He says he doesn't think the Saints right now, as constructed, can be a playoff team. Now, I understand. Draft hasn't happened. Free agency hasn't ended. Game hasn't been played. You haven't gone through OTAs, mini camp, and of course, training camp. I understand all of that. Jimmy's in the Joes, though, at the end of the day, right? We did this yesterday in case you missed the show. We can discuss it here as well when we come back with Ross Jackson coming up at 1:30. When you look at this team, are they, or how many top 20, 15, 10, or you can make it top 5 players do they have at their position? Not only on the NFL, just at their position. And we were trying to be fair. In fairness, we went through the rest of the NFC South. Tampa has a few. Falcons, maybe 3 or 4. How many would you say the Saints? It's Lattimore. Again, that's saying he's insane. I would say he's definitely top 15 in his position. I mean, he's a shutdown corner. He's legit. Is Olave a top 20 receiver, top 15 receiver, top 10? Is Kamara a top 20 running back in the NFL? I would say that. Is he top 15? Where is Derek Carr in comparison when you're looking at the different teams in the NFC South? So, again, just something to kind of keep an eye on, and it's something to just look at how this roster construction is. You bring in some speed in Willie Gay Jr., but is he going to get the snaps to showcase that? We'll play some of that sound coming up at the top of the hour. We'll take some phone calls here, 800-998-1003. West Bank Rick, thank you for giving us a call here on the show, sir. How are you today?
Hey, I'm drying. I'm being dry. That's what I'm doing, man.
Dry right now,
for sure.
I want to ask you this.
How do you feel performing your job and being booed and then trying to come back and try to do your job again, knowing that how people feel about you? I just want to know what you think about that.
How would I do it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason I don't read message boards. I made that mistake once. I told my wife, don't do it. Don't you read no message boards. I guess my answer would be you have to somehow tune it out and realize what's important, what's not. Now, obviously, I'm not in an environment where I would have to go somewhere to see someone be displeased with what I do or tell me I stink and stuff like that. Whereas in a game, right, you would hear that. Why? Who got booed that you think shouldn't be booed?
Oh, I ain't saying they shouldn't be booed. I'm just saying they performing their job. It may not be at the best of their abilities at that point, but Carr has got, you know, the message from the fans that he wasn't doing good enough to carry the team. And to me, I still blame the coach for making it seem like that this was the quarterback to move us over the hump. So that's where I just look at it that, you know, Carr has a lot on his shoulder.
Man, and I'll say this, West Bank Rick, and we talked about this yesterday, most of the season. I can't ever recall, honestly, and maybe I'm just thinking of it because it's more recent, but has there ever been a player? I mean, Brent, you know, was it Browner? Brandon Browner?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, people didn't like him. I mean, and I remember there's a reporter, was it Lines Yellens, that asked Sean Payton, and he got an earful for questioning if he was good or not, and then they cut him 2 games later. Remember that Redskins game where he basically just watched a guy catch the ball and score a touchdown. Kobe Fleener is another name that came up to me where, my goodness, that signing didn't work. But even with those guys, much less at that position... Eli Apple, but even still, I mean, I couldn't find anybody that liked Derek Carr. I mean, West Bank Rick, you listen to the show all the time, and I appreciate that.
Yep.
We had people call and say, please stop playing Derek Carr sound.
Yep, I heard that.
I mean, I don't ever remember people going, like, dude, you play one more Eli Apple, I'm going to find you. Like, people don't want to hear. And again, it's not like Derek Carr is talking smack about this. Like, most of his sound bites is almost like overwhelmingly positive. You know, man, I love the city. I want to win for y'all, man. I miss y'all. I love y'all. I tuck my kids in bed and all that. I mean, I listen to Matt and I start laughing when he talks about him because it does come across as disingenuous or it's hard to buy or things of that nature. But my goodness, I would sit in carpool during the season and Matt would just go off on some of the things that he does. But it's crazy because it wasn't just here. And I don't know the level of booing that he got neither in Oakland or, you know, in Vegas. But here, it's not the first place. I remember we had, I want to say it's Tajay Jones, or who's the reporter for the Raiders. And he said, look, you're either going to love Derek Carr or you're not going to care for Derek Carr. Like, that's the locker room. And I felt last year it was sort of like that. The fan base, same thing, right? I mean, like, yep, to your point, it was incredible. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, they moved the heck out of him that game.
I was shocked to hear how loud it was.
When Taysom Hill just walked on the...
Yep. I've been there so long that I was sitting here saying, wow, the only time I ever remember is when they probably, I was watching TV and they were just mad on Dicker with play calling. I think that was the only time I ever heard them booing because it was run Ricky right, run Ricky left, run Ricky right. And, you know, it was just that. They had no passing them much. But other than that, I haven't heard it that loud. And that still sticks with me when I just pass it and go to the Smoothie King and say, man, you see that sign says, you know, about how loud the dome is, but you never think that the boos could be just as loud as the cheers, you know. So that kind of puzzled me today. I once also want to tell you, you know, I'm kind of like looking at Brandon Ingram at his play with the Pelicans. And he's been kind of like stepping up his defense, and he's been driving to the hole a lot more. And it just seemed like CJ has started digressing from where normally I would see him. His first shot would be a three. And then from there, he had no way he was at. But now it just don't seem like they're doing where they've been as aggressive at taking the shot from the three-point line, like Brandon Ingram and CJ. I couldn't really fault her for having a bad game because he had a big job on his hand. But, man, that defense was horrendous. And I had to watch another guy on YouTube, and he explained, and it was a collective effort, but it was more of like CJ not doing his job, Larry not being in the spot where he's supposed to be at, Trey not communicating when they using the zone. It was a lot of little small things that they wasn't doing, and I'm hoping that they're corrected it, but when I was listening to you talking about, you know, it's kind of hard when you're coming from the road and then coming back home. And I was like, well, maybe that might be a factor or whatever. But it just seemed like you shouldn't forget your defense assignment. That's what I was thinking. That because you had all these opportunities where you were scoring free throws. You had free throws going. You might have wasn't scoring the threes, but you were still kind of keeping up with the change of the defense that you put down. Brandon Ingram sticking the center, I thought was...
Yeah, playing a five for a second, and Jared Allen. I want to play this. This was Trey Murphy after practice yesterday. It was brought up about Brandon Ingram's defensive growth.
He's made humongous steps defensively, and it's just a tribute to how much he wants to win. In those first 2 years, I feel like there were times where like he was just really focused on offense, and this year he's been locked down defensively, and it's just, once again, a testament to how much he wants to win.
Yeah, look, it's going to be key for him moving forward the next couple of games. How he plays defense is going to determine whether or not this team can win a playoff series.
Well, you need your superstars to step up. And
yeah,
I think from what I saw, I saw Zion with 32 blocks this season. He might have more, who knows. But to me, that's a plus when you're seeing that Zion is actually playing defense. He's doing a lot of things that people said he was not doing. So I'm going to try to give him his credit of his movement, but that last game, to me, probably was their worst defense of communication that I've seen as just watching the Pelicans. But I'm optimistic that they're going to turn it around because I was really hoping for that fifth win. I really wanted that fifth win. It would have helped out a whole lot moving into the next game. But
Tomato,
tomato.
Yeah, well. Is what it is, man. Thank you, Wes McRickle. See you tonight.
Hey, I want to ask you, did y'all do a Monday's podcast? Because I sure did miss it.
No, we did it. I did it. I did Monday, did Wednesday, did one today. We have Madison Hawk from Valley Sports New Orleans on today.
Well, I'm going to be looking for today, but tell whoever it is that I missed my Monday one. I didn't get my podcast for Monday.
You know what? I'll complain to the Graf.
Yep.
He's a director of complaints, even though he doesn't know it. People love to complain to him. He has no idea. Yeah, he has no idea. He's the director of complaints, mass complaints. Not anything specific, not any old area. Any complaints come the grass way.
Yeah. All right, man. Flock up.
All right, man. Take care. As always, appreciate the time. Hour one was brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing on the Gulf Coast. 1926 Airline Drive over in Metairie. NoWakeOutfitters.com, the website, and paddleboards as well if you want to check that out. Hour two next. Rafael Esparza, Ross Jackson, 115-130. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. It's here, the 2024 NOLA Gold Rugby season. New head coach Corey Brown has the boys focused on earning a spot in the playoffs, and we want you at the Gold Mine. Every home game is an event with families in mind, and after the whistle, head to the party shack, mingle with players, and collect autographs. Don't miss Major League Rugby and entertainment at an affordable price. Get your tickets now and be a part of NOLA Gold Rugby. Secure yours at NOLAGoldRugby.com.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Welcome to No Wake Outfitters, located in Metairie, just east of Causeway Boulevard. Your one-stop fly shop, kayak, and sportsman outfitters. You can check out our new kayak demos and our new pool and sea casting demonstrations. We have a new selection of functional and comfortable apparel from your favorite brands for the cooler weather. And our dedicated staff is here and ready to provide you with the knowledge to make an informed purchase. Come on in to check out some of our exclusive brands, such as Rugged Road, Turtle Box, Orvis, New Canoe, Old Town, and oh yeah, New Canoe 2022 kayaks are now 20% off. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.